It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I don't know. Would you say this is the highlight of the Olympic Games? One of the highlights of the Olympic Games?
Some would call it a low light, Gator.
Some might.
I think it's one of the signature standout things we remember from the Olympics, though.
That's right.
I'll say that.
The breakdancing competition in the Olympics. One and done. One of the competitors was a 36-year-old professor. College professor from Australia, Rachel Gunn. Her breaker name is Ray Gunn, because why wouldn't it be Ray Gunn? It's perfect, absolutely perfect. She was not the as skilled at breaking as the other breakdancers were in the competition. And after she did her routine, people were like, is this seriously a routine? In comparison to the other breakers are phenomenal, right? What you would expect. But what Ray Gunn was, well, great if it's your drunk friend at a wedding, but not for Olympic competition. And as you can imagine, there were plenty of memes out there and lots of nastiness on the internet. A lot of it done in jest.
TikTok videos, reels. They're hilarious, Gator, let's be honest.
And I think for the most part, people were having fun with it. But there are those that were not having fun. There are those who were genuinely pissed that they were livid that this even took place. It was an embarrassment to the community and that she never should have been there in the first place, that she manipulated the system in Australia to get there, which, by the way, has since been debunked. But it's been rough on Rachel Gunn. It's been really rough. In fact, she had to go and make an Instagram video to try to plea with people. This is from a story from Sports Illustrated. It says, "Hi, everyone. Ray Gunn here. I just want to start by thanking all the people who have supported me. I really appreciate the positivity, and I'm glad I was able to bring some joy into your lives. That's what I'd hoped. I didn't realize that would also open the door to so much hate, which has frankly been pretty devastating. I'd really like to ask the press to please stop harassing my family, my friends, the Australian breaking community, and the broader street dance community. Everyone has been through a lot as a result of this, so I ask you to please respect their privacy." So I start thinking, is the media really harassing family? And family, maybe, okay, because everybody wants to get the story. Hey, did you know that Rachel was into breakdancing and all this? But when she says that the stop harassing my family, friends, the Australian breaking community, and the broader street dance community, are they being harassed? I don't know. But she said, "In regards to the allegations and misinformation floating around, I'd like to ask everyone to refer to the recent statement made by the AOC, as well as all the posts on the Australian Breaking Instagram page, as well as the WDSF Breaking for Gold page, where they have exonerated her from any kind of wrongdoing in getting into the process to begin with to represent Australia as a breaker." Is this gotten out of hand? I mean, if it's gotten to threats, like nasty threats, it goes too far.
Well, threats is too far. Threats is definitely too far.
Having fun with the memes and reels.
That's different. Well, when she brought up the word harass, now that could mean they just won't, they constantly keep calling her and her family and trying to contact them. Yeah, that's a type of harassment for sure. I think, I'm hoping that's what she means by it, because the threatening stuff, that's illegal. You can't be threatening people, and you shouldn't threaten her over this, as it ridiculous as it was. And I don't know what's true or not true about her finding her way onto the Olympic team for Australia. But to me and to you, it's the many people who don't know a ton about breaking, it's clear to us she's not in the class that she should be competing Olympic medals, right? Like, So there's no way that's the best Australia has to offer in breaking. There's just no way. So, yeah, some people are upset, like genuinely upset that, hey, man, you made a mockery out of this. Well, you know, these are supposed to be the best in whatever category or event they're competing in. And you went out there and you looked like you were gyrating on the floor for like 2 minutes.
The Australian Olympic Committee Chief Executive Officer Matt Carroll said, "It's disgraceful that these falsehoods concocted by an anonymous person can be published in this way. It amounts to bullying and harassment, and it's defamatory. No athlete who has represented their country at the Olympic Games should be treated in this way." Goes on to say that Gunn, who's a lecturer at a university in Sydney, who has a doctorate degree in cultural studies, lost her three-round round-robin dance battles in the games without earning a single vote from the judges. And then she had, there's a quote about her. It says, "I went out there and I had fun. I did take it very seriously. I worked my butt off preparing for the Olympics and I gave it my all, truly."
Yeah, that's fine. But you were not, you shouldn't have been out there.
She probably
what people
shouldn't
are saying.
But if nobody, I mean, if she did it by the means that were set up by the Australian Olympic Committee to represent Australian breakdancing, and if the breaking community in Australia, if the real breakers out there decided not to do it, and she did, who's it on?
Someone wrote, text us, "Not a skilled gator, she scored 0 points.
I'm telling you, she's like your drunk friend at
a wedding. She went out there and laid on the ground and started touching her toes. Like it was, she was doing like 12 o'clock,
she had some moves. She had some. Not at the level that everybody else did. I mean, she's not spinning on her head at, you know, doing all the great stuff that you marvel at when you're watching.
You mean
dancing.
Things to score points?
Yes. Yes. When the whole thing was said and done, I thought it was just funny and like, wow, this got in there. Is it disgraceful? It's not disgraceful. Look, they're one and done in the Olympics, right? This isn't coming back.
Well, not next Olympics, at least.
It doesn't need to. I mean, breakdancing. It's not a sport. Right?
You know how this works.
It's a way to settle a beef on the streets without fighting is what
exactly.
It was.
Yeah, right.
Back in the early 80s, you know?
Yeah. It's like when Hans and, what's his name? Blue Steel guy. They try to set the, where they
Zoolander,
break. Yeah, Zoolander. We're trying to break dance fight. So.
Yeah, and David Bowie was the judge. Yeah. He tried. He tried that move where he could pull the underwear out and it didn't happen. Instead, it was a tragic ending to that. Oh, Zoolander. What a great movie. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. You want to talk about the Lions? You wanted to mention anything about Ray Gunn? Have at it. We do have a call wants to talk about the Lions. Let's get to that. Eric is next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, do you want to talk about Tosh Reynolds' replacement? But real quick, Ray Gunn isn't the worst Olympic athlete ever. I saw a story about a African swimmer who couldn't swim, decided to join because his country didn't have a representative. He practiced in a hotel pool. He gets to the Olympics, doesn't realize that it's 50
meters.
It's a
50-meter pool?
Pool. And so they had to have a lifeguard. They literally had to have a lifeguard at the pool as he swam his heat.
See, I mean, there should be safeguards against things like that happening. Like, I swam in high school. If you were going to swim in the state championships, you had to qualify. There was a time that you had to beat. Like, if you wanted to swim the 100 freestyle, you had to be better than 50 seconds for the 100 free in order to qualify. And everybody who qualified had a chance and a consolation. So you'd set up in the preliminaries, right? You'd get there. You might have 10 heats. Of six swimmers.
I don't know
swimmers.
How he qualified, except for apparently an entire nation of people in Africa can't swim. I don't know. I couldn't believe it. I saw that, and that made me think of Ray Gunn when I saw that. But so what's up with Donovan Peoples-Jones? So he's 6'2", right? Same height, same body type, you know, as Josh Reynolds, and he's only 4 years in the league. In 2022, the second season, I think he had 61 catches for over 800 yards as the number two receiver. How is he not cracking lineups and getting more, or maybe is he the option right now? Is that? And I haven't heard, you know, how
he is. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a guy that that actually got some praise earlier in the week and from over the weekend. That Dan Campbell singled him out and said, you know, he's doing some things. He's playing better because he kind of called him out last week going into the game that they expected more from him, and then over the weekend, apparently gave them more. I think on Saturday it's a big game for Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah,
I think it's a big game for Darius Fountain. I think it's a big game for Caden Davis. But I think for DPJ in particular, because he's the guy that has the pedigree of playing in the league and at least doing something. These other guys, nobody's heard of.
Yeah, and he's not a possession receiver. He's straight line. He's a straight line receiver. But, I mean, he's 6'2". He's athletic. I don't understand. And even his third season, I talked about 2022. I mean, his third season went from 61 catches down to like 8 or something like that. So it's mind-boggling. I don't know if he was injured or what, but I don't get it.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means. Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. When we were talking about Reagan and how unqualified she was, and he had the story about a swimmer that was unqualified. Remember Eddie the Eagle, the ski jumper?
Yes, there was a movie. They made a movie about it. Right?
From Britain?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a situation. It's the same thing. That guy never should have been in the Olympics, but I don't remember a ton of scrutiny that came down on him. He finished last in the 70 meter and the 90 meter events. And in those events, the second to last finisher finished like with double the points. Like that was how canyonous the gap was between like the first 70 ski jumpers and in between 70 and 71. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Different time, of course. We have social media is more relevant now than when Eddie the Eagle was doing whatever, you know, skiing. I think it's more people just having fun. To me, it's just more viral in the TikTok and the Reels. And I'm sure she's getting real harassment. But as far as the whole, I think it's just more people are like, this is a joke. This is hilarious. I can't believe this happened in the Olympics. And that's it. The scrutiny part, yeah, there's some. But I don't think it's as much as everyone just having fun with it. And it's not back in the LA Olympics. But there's, Gator, I'm telling you, there's a good chance it's back in the next Olympics after LA. Because like, they can pull and put events in and out whenever they want, almost, you know?
It's interesting that it's not in L.A.
Yeah, I guess it was a funding issue. But yeah, but you're right. It would make more sense in L.A., but...
I mean, a funding issue? That's kind of crazy.
Because they're doing other events that they don't, you know, flag football and... I forget. There's a bunch of other events they didn't have in this Olympics. Coming. They're going to have in L.A.
Wonder if she gets a movie made out of her from her performance.
She's probably going to be on the Australian flag football team. I swear, right?
She might be.
Yes.
Yeah, you never know.
Oh, here we go. Ray Gun at Scat Pack.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.